When you don't like the people in power, in government, whether it's this administration, the last administration, both, or all of them you've ever known, and there's enough with all of them to feel that way, honestly, when you don't like the people in power, it feels like there's no adults in the room. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever like picture federal government and go like, dude, they're all like toddlers. Do I need to get them like a binky and spank them on a rear end? And it would feel good if we could, honestly, it's just me. It seems like they, all they do is make dumb decisions. And the worst part is that when they're in that power position and they're making dumb decisions, they're full of arrogance and pride about it. Like, look what I've done. And you're like, yeah, look what you've done. You ever feel that way? Am I alone in this? Okay, yeah. All right, just making sure. They'll never admit mistakes. And if they do, they'll say, yes, it's my fault, but so-and-so, right? And that's not just current. That's been going on for many different administrations. They'll cause all sorts of problems and then blame shift. Someone said, and I happen to believe it's true, if you read 1 and 2 Kings, when God desires to judge a nation, he just gives them corrupt and really not very smart leaders, foolish leaders. Dude, I believe we're there. And it's not just because of the current guy. So don't, if I'm going against your guy, no. We've been there for a while. You could say, well, bad, good, bad, or good, bad. I don't care how you get there. I think we're there. We've been there for a bit, right? I'm like, dude, these are the best and brightest? Oh, we need like a whole nation of private school. What the heck? What are you kidding me? Here's the thing. When you see very little God in a nation or among a people, when you see very little and it looks very, very dark, don't you think for a moment that God has ceased working? God does not cease, even if you can't see it at the moment. We're going to look at a nation that is dark. In fact, they don't even claim to know God. They never have. We had a claim of, well, you know, we're a Christian nation. Nah, you never were. Well, yeah, but a whole bunch of us were at one point. The vast majority of Americans claimed Christianity. That's not quite so true now, but it was true at one point. Babylon was never Christian. They were, in fact, Christ hadn't come yet. They were never Jehovah God, we love you nation ever. And yet God is at work, and they're exceptionally evil and cruel. So King Nebuchadnezzar, just to remind you, because we're in Daniel 4, is mad wicked. The dude is just crazy. He's cruel. Remember, his go-to is, if you displease me, I'm going to tear you limb from limb, and I'm going to make your house a garbage dump. That's his go-to. Like, he doesn't have another gear like him getting ready to get angry. He doesn't have, like, a parent looks at a kid and says, one, and the kid laughs. Two, the kid laughs even harder. Three, and then the kid runs because they know three means something, right? He don't have that. He's got, okay, tear him limb from limb, which is a torturous death, and then make sure his family has no place to stay, burn the house down. That's this king. He is exceptionally cruel. And yet, if you've been following the story of Daniel, God keeps revealing himself to Nebuchadnezzar over and over again. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, also known as Belshazzar, are made eunuchs. They're brought in and they're supposed to eat everything from the king's table because they're supposed to get healthy. They're supposed to get big and strong. And these guys are Jews. They can't eat that kind of food. And they say, look, thank you so much, king. We can't eat that stuff. They say it to the head of the eunuchs, but it has to be reported to the king. Because if he doesn't tell the king and the king finds out, tear him limb from limb, burn his house down. So the king knows. These guys eat nothing but vegetables, drink nothing but water, and they grow strong. So the king has seen God at work over and over again. King has a dream about kingdoms and interpretation, and no one can tell. Daniel comes before him and says, no man can, but God can. God shows himself to Nebuchadnezzar over and over again. Throw those guys in the burning fiery furnace. Hey, dude, they're walking around. What the heck? Another guy's with them. Looks like a son of the gods. Come back out. He keeps showing himself to Nebuchadnezzar. Why would he do that? He's exceptionally cruel. He is wicked. He went in and he took the Israelites and he laid waste to the temple, the holy place of God. And yet God in his mercy continues to show himself to this cruel, wicked, evil king. And God is at work again. I don't know if you've watched movies like this. A lot of them will do this these days. They'll start off with something that is an action moment or even something surprising, something that makes you go, right? And then after those opening scenes, it'll say 8 years earlier. You ever watch movies like that? You know where that got its start? Not in Hollywood, not even in books. It got its start in Daniel. Seriously, first time that it was ever recorded was in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, which is where we're going. You've got this exceptionally cruel, wicked king. You got these moments of recognition, and then right back into idolatry and threatening torture and loss of home for the family. So you have the opening credits, and then we open up on this, and it's surprising. Let me show you. This is King Nebuchadnezzar writing a letter. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth. This guy's got a vast empire. Everybody who's going to get this letter is pretty much everybody in the known world. He is the strongest king Babylon has ever known. He has a nation that spreads over the known earth. He says, may your prosperity increase. Now watch this. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders, the, what are those words? Most High God has done for me. And if you've been watching the story, and if you understand that you don't upset these false gods, you don't ever put anything above them, there's a panoply of gods and you serve them all, and man, we love you all. When you read Most High God, which is an insult to all the other gods, you're going, what? What? And that's the opening scene. You're going like, what has happened in this guy's life that he's proclaiming Yahweh, Jehovah, the Christian God, as the, or the Jewish God, as the Most High God above all the Babylonian gods, above the idols. Remember, God is always at work, even in the highest levels of government when you don't see it and you don't think it. He is always at work, even among the most wicked, always. He goes on, he says, how great are his miracles. How mighty is his wonders. His kingdom. Eternal kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. His rule continues on. I'm just a king. I'll live, I'll die. There'll be other kings. There'll be other nations. They'll rise and fall. He alone lasts. Something has happened in this king's life that he's gotten a lesson. Like God has done something in his life that is mind-blowing. He's going to tell the story. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at my house and flourishing in my palace. And so the picture shifts and he is up at the top part of his palace overlooking his kingdom. And you see down below on the screen, 8 years earlier. This is that moment. This is when you're getting ready to find out what has happened to him. Why is a wicked king giving, talking about the Most High God and giving him alone glory? Here we go. I had a dream. It frightened me. God is speaking to him in dreams again. While in my bed, the images and visions of my mind, they alarmed me. Let me just stop for a second. How many of you have heard of the Islamic radicals who are having dreams and coming to Christ? Have you heard this news? Yes, it's happening. Yes, brother, it's happening right now in this world. People who hate Christians simply for being Christians, hate Jews simply for being Jews, think they alone are serving Allah and He alone is powerful and mighty. And they're exceptionally cruel and wicked. And they've done some terrible things. And God shows up in a dream. And they wind up coming to know Jesus. And you say, well, it's just a trick. They're just trying to get over here. No, no, no. I mean, they get persecuted. Some of them get killed for their faith after coming to Christ. It's happening right now. These things still happen. I'm a skeptic. So I look at him. I go, yeah, maybe not. And then I go, dude, he died for that. Okay. Probably real. Yeah. So he has a dream. He says, I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon to me. This is another dream, in order that I might make the dream's interpretation known to me. We've already seen one as we've been going through this series. Here's another one. He says, I need to know what this thing means. So he brings the guys in, all these Babylonians, all these wise men, Chaldeans. When the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners came in, I told them, this time he tells them, I told them the dream. I said, tell me what this thing means. It's driving me up a wall. What does this mean? Finally, Daniel, named Belshazzar, after the name of my God, because that's who he was serving, means Beltis, the goddess Beltis, protect the king. And a spirit of the holy gods is in him, came before me. And I told him the dream. Now, here's the thing. Something has happened. We know this. He's writing the letter. This is 8 years earlier. He's telling us what happened. And he says, the spirit of the holy gods is in me. He talks about after the name of my God. Something has happened. Something has changed. He's not perfect in his theology. Let's just take a minute, just so you know. I came to know Christ on a February Sunday without any understanding of the Trinity, of Bible translations, of Old and New Testament. Like, I was at ground zero. I had no understanding of the faith. Did God save me? Yeah. Now, I learned later. And I'm just saying that quickly so you understand. You can come to know Jesus and still not know all the stuff. You still know Jesus if you know Jesus. This guy has come to an understanding that he is the Most High God. He doesn't have it all together yet. But something has happened, and it doesn't take away from that. I told him the dream. Belshazzar, head of the magicians, because I know you have the spirit of the holy gods in you, and that no mystery puzzles you. Explain to me the visions of my dream that I saw and its interpretation. He's bringing in Daniel, God's man for the hour. In the visions of my mind, as I was lying in my bed, I saw this, and the king tells him. There was a tree in the middle of the earth. The tree was really, really tall. The tree grew large and strong, and its top reached to the sky, and it was visible to the ends of the earth, and its leaves were beautiful. And its fruit was abundant, and on it was food for all. So this huge tree that's blessing the whole earth, it's the greatest thing ever. Wild animals found shelter under it. The birds of the sky lived in its branches, and every creature was fed from it. And just as a quick aside, this is a strong kingdom with an exceptionally cruel king, but it's a strong kingdom. And a good, strong kingdom will bless the whole earth. There's nothing wrong with it, even if they got a wicked king. As I was lying in my bed, I saw in the visions of my mind a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, an angel, some translations will say. He called out loudly, "Cut down the tree, chop off its branches, strip off its leaves, scatter its fruit, let the animals flee from under it, and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground, with a band of iron and bronze around it, in the tender grass of the field." So they're going to chop this huge tree down that's blessing the whole earth, but they're leaving the stump. "Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share the plants of the earth with the animals." The him is the stump. We're now turning it into more of a human thing, speaking of a man, because that's what the stump represents. "Let his mind be changed from that of a human. Let him be given the mind of an animal for 7 periods of time." The mind of an animal, 7 periods is 7 years. "This word is by decree of the watchers, the angels, and the decision is by command from the holy ones, so that the living will know that the Most High," so that the living will know that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms. So that the living will know. I don't know how much of the Bible you've read. We're probably all different in here, and nobody should ever make me feel worse because I hadn't read a lot. But I was reading through Ezekiel, and I lost count of the number of times it said, "so that you will know, so that they will know, so that the whole earth will know that I am God." Hey, man, God ain't hiding. He ain't never been hiding. Our eyes can be veiled, the Bible says, because of sin, because of the god of this world, because of... God ain't hiding. He wants to be known. And the natural thing, when you actually know him, and you'll know this when you come to know him, because then the first thing you want to do is bow down and worship and proclaim his majesty and his glory, because that's who he is. God ain't hiding. This is so that the living will know that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms. He gives them to anyone he wants, and watch this, and sets who? Who? The lowliest of the people over them, not the best and the brightest. King, are you over a kingdom? Yeah, you're not all that. I know you think you are. I know you've told your wives and your concubines they have to tell you that, but that's because I don't have a choice. You're king. I'm just saying you ain't all that. You may not be smarter than a fifth grader. I'm just saying there may be... If the bus is really, really long, it's not the one you're on. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are some issues here, King. There's some cognitive disabilities. I love the way the Message puts it. He arranges the kingdom affairs. He arranges kingdom affairs however he wishes and makes leaders out of losers. Nebuchadnezzar, you're all full of it and all puffed up and think you something? Dude, you're nothing unless God allows you to have that position. That's what he's saying. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belshazzar, tell me the interpretation, Belshazzar being Daniel, because none of the wise men in my kingdom, none of them can tell me. They can't make the interpretation known to me. But you can because you have a spirit of the holy gods. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was stunned for a moment. He's just slack-jawed because he knows and he has to tell the king and he doesn't want to. His thoughts alarmed him. The king could see this and he said, Belshazzar, don't let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Daniel, Belshazzar, answered, my lord, may the dream apply to those who hate you and its interpretation to your enemies. In other words, yeah, this is going to be bad, king. This dream, it's really, really bad. It's not good for you. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, whose top reached to the sky, it was visible to the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant. And on it was fruit for all, food for all. Under it the wild animals lived, and in its branches the birds of the sky lived. That tree is you, your majesty. Yeah, this is bad. Remember the dream? It gets chopped down. Down to size, we would say these days. For you have become great and strong, and your greatness has grown and even reaches the sky. Your dominion extends to the ends of the earth. Why? You're a loser, baby, so why don't you kill? But God makes leaders out of losers so that he is glorified, not the men or women who are leaders. The king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven saying, cut down the tree and destroy it. But leave the stump with its roots in the ground with a band of iron and bronze around it and tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew from the sky and share food with the wild animals for 7 periods of time. This is the interpretation, your majesty. This is the decree that the Most High has been that has been issued against my lord the king. Against the king. Not for him, against the king. You're going to be driven from people. You're going to live with the wild animals. Now, stop and think about this. What if somebody came to Bezos and said, hey man, I know you've been to the sky and you got all this money and like you're mad rich. I'm telling you, pretty soon you're going to lose your mind and you're going to go live in a forest and you're going to be like an animal. No, I'm not. Dude, I'm an executive. At best, they put me into some institution and med me for a while. No, you're going to go live among the animals. No, I'm not. Pick anybody like that, any rich and powerful, any Bill Gates, any. This is akin to that. He is a king. His word stands. In fact, if he says kill somebody, they die. The only question is how. He's a king. And he has just heard that he's going to be driven from among men. He's going to live like an animal in the forest for 7 years. Until you acknowledge. Remember, this is 8 years earlier, until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. Until you humble up, King, until you realize, and I mean really realize reality, until you deal with the fact that you're not all that, but God is, and he placed you here for his purposes, listen, not your own. We said last week, God never raises you up. God never gives you the mic. God never spotlights you just for you. It's an opportunity to glorify him and bless others. That's why the king is supposed to be there. As for the command to leave the tree stump with its root, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you acknowledge that heaven, that the kingdom of God rules. And there's a huge principle here, and I don't want us to miss this. Huge, huge principle. The office of government comes from God alone. He created it. And we're responsible to God for how we handle it. Hold on here, because I know you think I'm only talking about government. I'm not in government. I'm not the government. No, I get you, but yes, you are. Parents, you govern your kids? I hope to God you do. You're supposed to. That's an authority that is established by God for you to govern and watch out for them. And they're to be under your servant authority. Your servant, you're not, it's not under your thumb and you're going to beat the fire out of them if they give you a wrong look. I mean, you're supposed to love them and care for them. And as they're your kids and as they're young, you're supposed to train them up, right? You're an authority. You're in a God-ordained authority. You govern your marriage, men and women, don't you? Hopefully you do, because if you don't steward your marriage, you ain't going to have much of a marriage. You govern your marriage. I'm looking at every couple so nobody thinks I'm only looking at them. You govern your marriage. You govern your finances. You govern your home. You govern your time. You govern your talents and gifts. We, together as a congregation and our elders specifically, govern the church as representatives of the congregation. And in all of these things, in every area of life, we're responsible to God for how we govern it. The word that's used is stewardship. That's not a money word. That's a, let me manage it in a way that glorifies you, Lord. Let me go a little further. As for the command to leave the tree's stump with its roots, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you acknowledge it, heaven rules. Daniel's getting ready to give advice. The king has just heard, you're going to lose your kingdom. But I'm a king. Yeah, you just pooped in the forest. You ain't much of a king right now. It's getting ready to happen. So Daniel's going to give advice. Therefore, may my advice seem good to you, my king. Remember, here's what we said last. Let me do it this way. Separate yourself from your sins by doing what is right, and from your injustices by showing mercy to the needy. Perhaps there will be an extension of your prosperity. Glorify God by doing what is right. Mercy to the needy. By the way, that is always a part of the gospel, just so you know. There's never been a time that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been divorced from caring about those who have real needs. Not those who say they have needs, but those who have real needs. Not those who manipulate and twist you, but those who have needs. We serve people according to their needs, not always their wants, but their needs is part of the gospel. Always a part of glorifying God. And in other words, here's what he's saying, King. Steward and manage what God has entrusted to you in a way that shows his priorities. Let me say that again. Steward and manage what God has entrusted to you in a way that shows his priorities. So I don't have to treat my wife in a way that shows God's priorities. She's going to have to treat me in a way that shows God's priorities. We're going to raise our kids in a way where we're not trying to make them moral little pagans. We're not trying to make sure they're always perfect. But we love them and serve them according to their needs in a way that shows God's priorities. By the way, freebie, God's priorities are not give them whatever they need so they'll shut up and leave you alone. That's not God's priorities. You actually do have to parent them. I know it's hard. I'm so sorry. But ice cream for breakfast every morning probably isn't good. And pretty soon they're going to need some kind of sugar help if you keep doing it. I'm just saying. Separate yourself. He's been given advice. You, not just a king long ago, listen, you and I are responsible to manage what God has entrusted to us in a way that shows his priorities. That principle has not ended. And there's a missing link, and I want you to catch this. It's pride, because the fall is going to be of the king is going to be related to his pride. The king is proud of himself. And because he's proud of himself, because he thinks he's done this on his own, because he thinks it's his kingdom, not God's, and he's managing it, he thinks it's okay to be cruel, to treat people like pawns, to rip them limb from limb. Pride. No different than rulers today. I got here because I'm so smart and wise and intelligent. Dude, really, you're not the best and brightest. God makes leaders out of losers, loser. I mean, people voted for you, I get that, maybe. Always got to go one step too far. Pride puts me in charge. It gives me the self-righteousness to judge others in God's place. Pride. I'm unvaccinated and a bunch of you are sheep because you're vaccinated. I'm vaccinated and a bunch of you are murderers because you're unvaccinated. Both sides have a problem with pride. I'm in a position to look down on others who aren't like me. No, you're just ridiculous. Cut it out. You're not helping any of us. And to treat them poorly. Humility does the opposite. Lord, how would you treat people who are different from me? And by the way, Lord, I'm not the standard you are, and I fall so far short. Oh, humility changes everything. Lord, I'm simply supposed to manage what you have entrusted to me. That includes relationships. And this one's harder for me. That includes how I treat people on Facebook. And by the way, man, I'm part of the Keyboard Warriors MC, and I'm amazing. Yeah, I'm ridiculous. The point of a warning. Repentance and restoration. God gives him the dream so that hopefully he will repent and do what's right. Our God is holy, and he is patient, and he always desires restoration. But he's only going to wait for so long, so that's a warning for the king. Remember, Jonah was sent to the Assyrians not to say, hey, you're all going to die later, but to preach repentance, and the Assyrians repented. God wants to give grace. Christ died to bring us to the Father. God always wants restoration. There's never a time that God says, I cannot wait to torture you and tear you limb from limb. That's King Nebuchadnezzar. That's not God. Your God loves you, and you're made in his image. And there's not a single person, listen, not a single person walking this earth that God doesn't want to bring to himself, whether it is the Taliban who just did something unmentionable to a little girl. Christ still died for him. Right? Whether it is the guy that you saw holding the sign and you know he's scamming because you see him there all the time and he's got like mad wads of cash, God still loves him. There's no one God doesn't love, whether it is a corporate exec whose only God is money, God still loves him. Whether it is the woman who runs the pharmaceutical company and they made the calculation that, yeah, we're going to kill a bunch of people, but we're going to make enough money we can pay the fines. God still loves her. Jesus still died for her. God always wants restoration. Christ comes to earth, dies on a cross for our sins in our place. And when our faith is in him, our sins are forgiven and his righteousness is placed upon us. He takes those sins to the grave, and that's where they stay. And no, we're not perfect, but we're growing in Christ's likeness if his spirit lives within us. So the king is still telling the story. And he's going to switch to third person, but he's still telling the story. This is still the letter. Stay with me. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar, to me, at the end of 12 months as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon. So it's now 1 year later, right? We went back 8 years. So 12 months later, he is out walking around the palace, looking at his amazing kingdom. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you ever had this moment where you look on what you have and you go like, man, this is just incredible, right? Like I remember having nothing, no cash at all. My father had found he had some heart problems and I didn't even have the cash to get to Houston to go see him. In fact, my girlfriend at the time had to loan me money. I married her. She's going to loan me money. I'm going to marry her. Well, maybe she'll loan me more. And then I look out and like, I got a house now, I got a car, I got a mountain bike. Like, what? He's out there and he's looking at these things. And this is his kingdom, and it would be hard not to think well of yourself when you see all of this. And here's what he said. Is this not Babylon the Great that I have built to be a royal residence for my vast power and my majestic glory? Ooh, did you catch that? Pride, hubris, look what I have done. I'm so smart, me so wise, me build big kingdom. No, you're a loser, baby. I might want to kill you. I built my vast power, my majestic glory. While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you. In that moment, his heart is lifted up and he's under judgment. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time, for 7 years, until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants. This is a grace, by the way. God is teaching him something. In Acts 12, King Herod was speaking, and the people said, the voice of a God and not of a man, and he took the glory, and God ended him, finished him. He was eaten of worms and died, it says. Because he didn't give glory to God. This is a grace. God is being patient with this king. At that moment, the message against King Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He goes insane in the membrane, insane in the brain. That should be a song. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom. He ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with dew from the sky until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Guy is crazy. He's out like he's just mad. They drive him away because he don't know anything. He can't understand English. He's walking on all fours. And he's out living among the animals. But at the end of those days, God gives him a return to sanity to see if perhaps he will glorify God. I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned to me. Then I praised the Most High, and I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. For His dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. Dominion is rule and authority. His kingdom is from generation to generation. His, not mine. I'm just a king. I'm going to live, I'm going to die. But His lasts. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. Hold on, I'll explain that. And He does what He wants to the army, with the army of earth and the inhabitants, or army of heaven and inhabitants of the earth. Counted as nothing compared to Him. In other words, man, the fact that He would love us, that He would work in our lives, that He would care for us, that Christ would die for us, we now understand in our day, is amazing. He's our creator. Dude, I've created some things. I remember, I think it was sixth grade, I created this little ashtray. It was a little messed up, but I was so proud. Yeah, I wouldn't care these days if I smashed it. It's just my creation. Who cares? God cares about His creation. We're nothing compared to Him. He's the creator. We're the created. And yet He dies for us, becomes one of us and dies for us. It's about His creation, His power, His might, His glory. That's the point. He's in charge. So we are responsible as stewards with what He gives us. In humility, not pride and arrogance. There is no one who can block His hand or say to Him, what have you done? No one can go as a, nobody can block His hand. He's going to do what He wants. No one can give Him a serious rebuke. Lord, I can't believe You did that. You can try that. God don't go, wow, you know, Brian, you're right. I absolutely should have killed that person going slow in the left lane. You're right, Brian, I should have done that. There's never a time that, God, this is such an injustice. No, you live in a fallen world, and the fall is because of sin. And by the way, you're a partaker in it because ain't none of us perfect. None of us gets to rebuke God. At that time, my sanity returned to me, my majesty and my splendor to me for the returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. And you say, the glory of my kingdom, yes, but under the glory of God with the goal of using it to glorify and point to God. Let me show you. My advisors and nobles sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and even more greatness came to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, with the position God has given me, I praise, I exalt, I glorify the King of the heavens. It's no longer about me. The position God has given me is for His glory and not mine. Is it because He forced me to, because He's mean? Because all His works are true. Not because He's mean, but because all of His works are true and all of His ways are just, are good, are right. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Kings, presidents, and governors. He's able to do this. God is at work. He can humble who He chooses, but be careful. You don't have to be a king to look around at your kingdom and say, look what I have done. You don't have to be a king to do that. Anybody can. And we do it in a lot of different ways. In fact, I'll show you just a couple. I'm just so talented at, and everybody loves my voice. Everybody loves my... Dude, who gave you that talent? You may have worked on it, you may have honed it, but who gave you the talent to begin with? I did this myself. I built this myself. Well, if one person can build it, another can tear it down in a moment. Be very humble and careful about that. Ain't nothing lasts. I do good things, and they or circumstances hold me down, and it's just not fair, but I'm just a good person, and I do good. Dude, life ain't fair. God is good. If you're looking at what you do, and that's going to be your source of joy, you're going to be bitterly disappointed at some point because we all screw up. And there are people you will build and they will tear it down. Let me do it this way. Probably no one here, but has anybody ever been on social media? You guys probably hadn't been there, right? You don't know what that stuff's about. Yeah, you don't want to go there, man. It's a crap show. That's the biblical word for it. Literally, Jesus looks and goes, Dude, that's a crap show. Don't go there. I'm just saying, man, you go on and you think you're building a reputation. Oh, that's the silliest of all things. Don't build a reputation. Worry about character, because you can build your reputation and one person in one moment can decide they want to have a problem with you because you're not the only person they've ever turned their evil against and their anger against. You're just the latest, and they will tear you to part, and they don't have to speak truth, right? Don't worry about your reputation. It's the worst thing you can build. Worry about your character. And those who know you, well, they'll know. And those who don't, it doesn't matter. Does it? Oh, man, there's so much freedom in that. Oh, so much freedom. Oh, I'm just such a good person. Dude, do you know that God knows your deepest, darkest, worst secret, the worst thing you've ever done or thought? Yeah, tell everybody else. Tell yourself you're a good person. God's laughing at you because he knows better. Yes. Oh, I just have a good heart, and I just get hurt because my heart is so good. Let me go back to the previous one. God knows. We'll say things like, because they believe differently, that president is so dumb. He's like, you need to be really careful. Let me just, as somebody who loves you, can I warn you just for a moment? You're not supposed to call people fool. When you do, Jesus said you're in danger of hellfire. In that moment, there's pride in saying, I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and I'm wise enough to call others fools. And the word for that, moros. We get moron from that. You may disagree with them. You may say that was a dumb decision. You can say that was a foolish thing to do. Please don't call people fool or stupid. I want to do that. I want to do that with politicians continually. I do. I'm just being honest with you. I hold back because I've made some really dumb moves, and I've never been in a position with that much power. And if I were, you guys would be laughing at me and calling me stupid, wouldn't you? You may right now. Go ahead. I'm judging you anyway. But I'm just saying, you don't have to be a king to look around at your kingdom and proclaim your power, your glory, and your intellect. And it's one of the most foolish things you can do. The beginning of actions that glorify God is to get rid of arrogance, to get rid of pride, to look up to God, to live in humility, seeing an entrustment, not an entitlement. Lord, you've given these to me. I may have worked hard for them, but you allowed me to work. You allowed me to be in a country where I could work. You allowed me to have a job. What I have is an entrustment. How do I glorify you? With my marriage, with my relationships, with my time, with my finances, with my name, whatever it is. It's a privilege to have that position before God. And it's not just for King Nebuchadnezzar. I can easily look around and say, look at all that I have done. And if I do, I'm incredibly foolish. Let's take a moment and pray.